Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Thursday. Welcome aboard. We're thrilled you're listening. We're at 312-981-7200. Should you have any questions or comments?
You should be a centerfold, Bill.
Well, there was some talk. There was, for a little while, there was some negotiation.
Toy Collectors Monthly?
Yeah. Yes.
All your toys arranged very strategically around you?
Yes. Yes.
It sell a lot of copies.
Oh, boy, would it ever. Would it ever. All right, several things. First, on paper, this looks to be a pretty good show. I'm hoping it plays out that way. Drake Bell from Drake and Josh. He played Josh, right, on Drake and Josh?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he, you know, speaking of toys.
He came by the house. He did a video of me and my collection.
It's up on YouTube. Yeah. It's gotten, I don't know if it went viral, but
over
it got many.
Over a billion hits, they said. Just over a billion hits.
Wow.
A billion six. So that's a lot.
Maybe right. He can be in Toy Collectors Monthly with you.
No, there's only room for one.
All right.
There's only room for one, Wendy. John Heffron, very funny comedian, will be with us at 11:05, and then Patrick McDonald comes by. I believe Patrick has seen the sequel to Blade Runner, a movie I've been waiting for 20 years.
Can I tell you something? Jimmy Mack went to go see a screening of Blade Runner.
The original
2049.
Or the new one?
Is that the new one?
Yeah.
And then when he got there... It wasn't the new one. It was a director's cut of the old one.
But they advertised it as 2049? Oh, they can't. That's illegal.
He thought for sure it was going to be the new one. He did, however, say it was pretty fantastic seeing the old one on a big screen that he had never seen before.
Yeah. They reworked the original one. You've seen the original one, right?
I don't remember a thing about it other than it was good.
Say, really? There's all this talk about it. And
do you remember it?
I didn't see it.
Oh, Steve, it's so good. It's really
good. Was this like in the Mad Max era too, right?
It was a little after the original Mad Max, but before the sequels to Mad Max. But it's just such a good movie. The original was. I can't speak for the sequel yet. But it's one of those movies that as soon as it came out, because it did well, critics liked it, audiences liked it, and everybody said, well, we'll make a sequel. And I went, all right, I'll go see the sequel. And then it took years and years and years and years, but it's finally here.
And you'll go to the theater to see it?
Yes.
Because I'm shocked you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I am.
I really am. That is so up your alley.
I don't know why I haven't. I just
haven't. And you like to go to the movies.
I do enjoy
the picture show.
Yeah, the picture show is unsurpassed. So we'll find out if Blade Runner 2049... the new version, not a remix of the old version, is as good as the original.
Isn't that disappointing?
Yeah, I could see where he'd be a little bit upset. But, and they advertised it in the paper as being the new one?
Yeah.
Or he just read it
and
wrong.
And he drove out to Addison, and, you know, I'm like, why didn't you leave? He goes, because like I said, I never saw the original on a big screen, so I think tonight he's going to see the new one.
I hope he likes it, and I hope it's good.
I hope you like it, Bill.
Yeah, my fingers are crossed. All right. I know you probably look forward to this as much, if not more, than I do. Every year they tell us who's up for election for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. So this morning they announced who the candidates are. And then you and I, traditionally, we go through them and we belittle them and say, well, they don't belong in there. You want to do it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Should we do that again
please.
This year?
I do live for this day.
Now, I did better than you last year.
Yeah, you did.
It was the three of us, but remember when we had Kevin as our producer?
No.
You don't remember? We used to have a producer named Kevin, and you and Kevin and myself, we all went head-to-head, and I only missed one. I think you missed three, and Kevin missed three or four.
Yeah, I went with my heart.
Heart was not nominated last year. You made a bad pick.
They're fighting, by the way. The Wilson sisters are totally fighting.
You know why?
One's getting crazy on you.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, there's a problem with one
Anne
of their...
or Flip, which are the Wilson sisters? Which one's fighting with the other one?
Flip, I
is
believe.
Is it Flip?
I think Flip's husband is flipped out.
Oh,
that's what
no.
the problem
is. True?
So I hope they don't break up.
Oh, I hope not.
Oh, they're so good
great voices.
Together.
All right, so here are the nominees. We will decide, you and I will decide who gets in. And that's the way it should be at the real Hall of Fame. It should be up to you and me. But they won't let that happen for some reason. Now, you might have to help me because I don't remember how many.
Oh.
Do they let six in or seven in?
Oh,
do you
boy.
Know?
I
think in the past it's been six or seven, but I can't remember for sure. And maybe they've changed the rule.
Well, last year's, I don't know how many we picked.
I can't find it.
Well, we can just go through and
all
say
right,
yay
we'll
or
decide.
Nay.
All right, we'll decide. Are you ready?
Yes.
Bon Jovi.
Nope.
You said no to Bon Jovi.
I mean, come on.
Steve, don't you think Bon Jovi should be in the Hall of Fame?
Absolutely. He's Hall of Fame material. Just his hair.
Yeah.
He's got great hair, and he is quite beautiful. But when you see some of the other people, that's when you have to start eliminating. So if John Bon Jovi and the whole band Bon Jovi is up, I'd say, yeah, sure. But wait till you hear some of the other ones.
That's fair.
You're saying yes?
I would give Bon Jovi a seat in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. For that reason.
All right,
there was a time where a girl like yourself couldn't say bump, 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 bump. Bon Jovi made it possible.
He opened doors.
Yes, he did. He was a door opener.
He is a gentleman.
He's a gentleman.
All right, so you're saying yes.
Yes
I'm
to Bon Jovi.
No.
You say no to Bon Jovi. Steve, you say yes?
I'm going to say yes to Bon Jovi.
Kate Bush.
Not finished running up that hill. I don't know that she should be. Sort of, but not yet. I don't know.
Here's the weird thing. I love her. I would say no. Because I don't think there's enough hits there. I think it's too underground of a following. There are very passionate fans, and I'm one of them, but I would say no to her. The Cars.
Absolutely.
Oh, Steve, wait, go back to
Kate Bush.
No Kate Bush.
Oh, wait, what did you say with Bon Jovi? We're doing Bertrand.
So.
Yep.
So yes and no to Kate Bush. All right.
The Cars.
Absolutely, 100% yes.
I'm with you.
I love the Cars.
But?
I love the Cars, and now when I hear them, I don't like them as much. It's weird.
What changed?
I don't know, but
yes.
You
became tainted.
Absolutely Hall of Fame.
Say yes. All right, good. Good, good, good. Depeche Mode.
I love Depeche Mode. They've been around for a while. Mm-hmm.
This is a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're kind of on the border.
I'm going to go no.
I just heard Bon Jovi applaud when you said that. I heard John Bon Jovi clap. Depeche Mode?
I love them. But
Steve?
I'm going to say, can we only pick six?
I think they allow six or seven in, and I can't. It doesn't say in my version of the story how many of these they allow in.
Let's do the Depeche Mode, our choices.
Yeah.
We'll take a break, and we'll research how many get in, and
then
maybe we can change it.
Okay, I'll say no.
No to Depeche Mode?
Bill?
I say yes.
You have to be a contrarian, don't you?
What about Pi Alamode? Their breakoff band. Their after-dinner band.
Is this how today's going to go?
Pretty much, yeah.
Great.
Kind of like this. We'll take a quick break, and then we're deciding who's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Who will go into the 2017 class for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland? We have the 19 nominees, but we cannot determine, despite visiting the website of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, how many of these 19 will be allowed in.
Camille is filling in for Kevin, who is not here, who Jasmine will be here. Anyway, Camille's here. What did you glean from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame website?
It was very confusing, but it said the top five get a public ballot.
All right, and here it says to be eligible for the Hall, all nominees must have released their first recording no later than 1992, because you need 25 years after your release to be...
They don't want any flash in the pans. Yeah.
And then it says the public has until December 5th to cast votes on the final inductees via the Rock Hall site. The top five acts will comprise a fans ballot that will make an impression along with those of the 800 artists, historians, and music industry professionals who make up the rock and roll voting body. So only five this year?
I guess. Yeah, well, it was more last year. I'm almost certain it was more.
I'm at three already.
Right, no, you've used up most of your votes. Well, once we determine who we went in and on it, we can shave it down to five.
All right.
Dire Straits.
Absolutely.
Yep. Steve?
Hope so, yes.
Love Dire Straits.
You can't say yes to all of them, Steve.
I said I hope so, yes.
So you're yes, and Bill, you're a yes?
I'm a yes on Dire Straits. Eurythmics.
Yes.
Yes.
No, I'm kidding. I can't do this. I can't play this game.
Because you're too honest. It comes
back
to
bite you.
Well,
we can whittle it down. Say what you think. Do they deserve it?
I think so.
I think they do.
I do, too. So three yeses there.
Jay Giles Band.
Absolutely, 100%.
I'm going to say no on them. I like them, but not enough body of work.
Yeah, I'm running out of yeses.
Yep. What about the band yes, Steve?
No.
You'd say no to yes.
They were last year, weren't they?
I think they were. I'm pretty sure they were. Judas Priest.
I'm going to say no just because I'm not a fan.
I can't stand them, and I say yes.
They should be, probably.
I can't stand them, but they do deserve a place in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Breaking the law. Breaking the law.
No.
You're saying no?
No.
What kind of T-shirts would carnival workers wear if it were not for Judas Priest?
Rush.
Right, probably. Probably Rush. LL Cool J.
Not yet.
No.
I enjoy him, but I don't know if he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't know. MC5.
Weren't they nominated last year
I thought they were. But I think, do you get a couple of years, and then if you don't get it, are you knocked off the ballot? Because I thought I saw MC5's name on there in the past.
The MC5 went 14 years between their first two nominations, which were 2003 and last year. So now it's 2 years in the row for them. I don't know.
I say no to MC5.
I'm saying no.
Steve, you're going to say no to this one.
No.
Yep, I knew that was coming. The Meters. I don't know the Meters.
Are they a rockabilly?
I don't know who they are. So based on that, I say yes. Steve, do you know the Meters?
I don't, no.
I'm looking them up. They have the odds at this one website.
Oh, they do? You can bet on this?
Yeah, I guess the Meters, a legendary New Orleans funk outfit.
No.
They have been backed by artists ranging from LaBelle to Paul McCartney. I'm saying no.
No, sorry, Meters, you're out. Moody Blues.
Yes.
Yep.
I have to vote with my heart here. No.
Oh, Steve, the Moody Blues.
Never liked them.
Knights in White Castle.
Thank you, Weird Bill.
Weird Bill Lekovic. Radiohead.
I love Radiohead, but I do not understand the craziness involved the whole world going nuts for a Radiohead show. I'm saying yes someday, but not now.
Not as of today.
No.
Can I say that I played Creep on the radio, the WGNS filling in for Spike Odell one day, put it on, ran into the other room. Turned out they chose the unedited version.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was bad.
And you're still working here.
And I say no.
I do love that song, but...
The Creep song? But I can't... Can you name five Radiohead hits? I can't.
No, but they... Big fans can.
I know. All right, so we're all in agreement, probably no on Radiohead. Rage Against the Machine.
Not yet.
I'm with you. I like
them. They deserve to be in there. Not yet.
Right.
I'm going to say yes.
Yes to Rage Against the Machine.
Can you imagine how mad they will be if they don't get in?
If you think they have rage now, find them afterwards. Rufus featuring Chaka Khan.
They deserve to be in there. It's been a while.
I'm close on that one, but I would tip toward no. Steve?
No.
Nope to Rufus featuring Chaka Khan.
I'm going to go no on that.
You change your mind on Rufus?
Yeah. Sorry.
What if it was not featuring Chaka Khan?
Then for sure, no.
Then in. Oh, and out. Sorry. Nina Simone. Now, I think of her as more of a jazz performer than a rock and roller, isn't she? She's a jazz musician, right?
I don't know much about her at all. So
Steve,
I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no. I say no. She just, there's nothing... There's a slight...
She was like an influencer, though, I think. I mean,
I put her
in that way.
Maybe.
I'm going to say yes.
You say yes to Nina Simone.
I think there's going to be a quirky one. That'll
surprised.
Be Nina.
What about Raven Simone?
That's so no.
So Steve's saying yes on Nina Simone. All right.
Yeah. Sister Rosetta Tharpe.
The grandmother of rock and roll.
Yeah. The only nun on the list this year. In other years, there have been a lot of sisters, but not this year around.
Early influences, yes, but no. I'm going no. I'm going no.
Sorry, sister.
No.
I'm going to say no also. And one more, Link Ray featuring Chaka Khan.
a truly wonderful guitar hero.
Yes.
And maybe should go into the Guitar Player Hall of Fame if
probably
there is
already
one.
Is.
But I'm going no.
No, sorry, Link Ray, unless Steve likes
no,
you.
No, I got a lot of ignorance here. I'm going to say no.
Nope. I also say no to Link Ray. So I think
I've got one more on my list.
Who else?
The Zombies.
Oh, Zombies didn't make my list.
Oh, the Zombies.
I'll write them in. They're a write-in.
I got to go yes on that. Which I was at five yeses, and now I have six. Bertrand
has 11. Steve, you have 11. Yeah. I have 8.
Oh, so Zombies. What do you say?
I think you'd have to. Huh?
I got
to
go yes.
Oh, man. That one's so close. I'm going to say no on Zombies only because I've already picked so many. If
Steve?
I didn't pick as many, I might say yes.
How many do I have? Do you know
you
any?
You have 11.
Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You have 6.
Oh,
okay,
six?
That's
I thought
bad.
Steve had a lot
two,
more
three,
than
four.
That.
Bill, you have 6. I have 5, but now 6 with the Zombies.
Oh.
All right, then I'm going to say no to the Zombies so we're all equal.
All right.
I'll keep
so
this
we all have to shave one
December.
Off.
We have to take a break.
All right, we'll take a break, and then there's a lot more show. Steve has the news, and then a bunch of stuff. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I don't know why I have goosebumps listening to this, but I really enjoyed Drake and Josh. And there's a contest going on involving the final end of it would be a performance by Drake Bell. Suzanne Jessen is in the studio with us today. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, how's everybody doing?
I got to tell you, I saw on Facebook if anyone wants to open up for Drake Bell, come and audition at this place in Downers Grove, Ballydoyle. So my son Michael's a musician. This is a singer-songwriter slam. And I said, Michael, you should do it. So we went, and we thought it was one and done. You audition and find out if you get the gig. But no, it's been a six-week awesome ride where there are how many contestants?
There's like 10. 10 contestants.
Ranging from a 12-year-old boy, Bill, who's amazing.
Yeah.
Some 14-year-old girls.
Yep.
My son, Michael, who's 18. There are some 20-year-olds. It has become a little family thing where we go every Thursday night, and we've watched everyone improve. The judges are there and giving some critiques. It's been a wonderful, wonderful thing that you've put together.
Yes, thank you very much. I enjoy what I do so much. My business is 1126 Entertainment. I named that after my brother who recently passed. And I just love what I do. And I love to give opportunity to local artists. I'm a personal assistant for celebrity rock bands and a tour manager. So I said, you know what? I love to give to the community. How can I help other artists achieve their goals? And so that's why I started the singer-songwriter contest. And it's amazing. It's a six-week run. And then every time at the end of the finale, I bring a celebrity in. So they get the opportunity to be direct support for that celebrity. So it's been a great turnout. We pack the venue every week. The owner loves it because I pack the place.
Yeah.
And it's just been a great success. And they grow in the 6 weeks.
It's amazing to see this, Bill.
Where did the 10 come from originally?
So what I do is I was a talent scout for years. So I go out and scout at all the bars and venues, and I pick out artists, and I have auditions, and I'll pick my top 10 or 12, and then they compete for 6 weeks. I don't eliminate because I feel like I like to see them grow.
And they do. I can't tell you, from week one to tonight will be the last performance.
Yes.
And the kids, all of them,
they're
just improve so much because the judges are, their critiques sometimes are not... they're not mean, but they're helpful. And if these artists follow what the judges say, they've grown amazingly in the 6 weeks' time.
You know, we have some great judges. Dave and Patar have been judging over these last weeks. And they just critique and they give positive feedback. And then the contestants will say, well, how do I grow? What do I do?
Right.
And then I'll bring other people in the music business to check them out to see, you know, hey, what can we do with them? Or I bring people who run festivals so we can put them in festivals. So not only do I give the artist opportunity to open up for Drake to fight for that spot, I also give them opportunities for festivals in Chicago or other venues House of Blues. And so
there's no other way a kid can do this.
No. Well,
no, you said you find them in bars, but you're not finding 12-year-old kids playing songs in bars, are you?
I go everywhere. I go to, well, there's open mics. A lot of places have open mics where it's all ages.
Yeah.
So I'll go to all different venues and I'll scout it out. I'll also scout it out at, you know, other, you know, if there's a festival going on, the farmer's market. I go to the farmer's markets in different towns where there's young artists that are singing, talent shows.
And pick up some corn while you're there.
And I pick up corn.
Everybody wins.
I love corn.
But now, are these performers doing original material or covers of other songs or both?
A little of each.
They do a little bit of both. You know, it's really about the singing, songwriting, but I do let them, I say, you know, if you guys want to do a cover, it's not a problem, but add a little twist to it.
Yeah.
Let me see something a little bit different. You know, change your style. If it's a Michael Jackson song, let me see a little bit of twist to it, but using his, you know, using that cover. And they do that. And they're all amazing. Like, it's I'm just so proud of how they grow. And so what we're doing now is we're expanding because it's been such a hit. And so we're expanding. So if anyone's interested in the local bars, venues, anywhere.
Suburbs, cities,
it doesn't have to be a bar. It can be any type of venue,
park
districts, anything. We are growing this in the Chicagoland area. You can check me out on, you know, WGN's site and just email me and say, hey, Susie, you're interested. Because not only is it value to the venue, because we pack the place, do well. It's giving opportunity to these local artists to grow. And nobody really has what we do.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Does it cost them money to enter the competition?
It's literally $25 to enter the competition.
And that's
for the
whole 6 weeks.
Yep. For 6 weeks.
One time cost, all right.
One time cost, $25. And they are exposed over all social media, Instagram. The celebrity artists that I bring in the finale, you know, they're tweeting them out, they're talking about it. Mm-hmm. So, and
you mean
we're
celebrities like this guy?
Yes.
Hey, Drake.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Nice to talk to you, Drake.
Long time no talk. Yeah, what's going on, Bill?
Is any of what Suzanne said true?
Only about 60%.
All right.
Last time you came in, my son Michael and I went to see you. This time he's in the contest. And these kids have grown so much. The last time you were in town, you also hung out at Bill's house and loved his toys.
Yeah, that was awesome. Have you seen how many views that stinking video's gotten?
It's gotten quite a few. It was such a fun day, Drake.
It's at 100,000. It's at 100,000 views. I couldn't believe it.
Bill said 100 billion.
I thought it was 100 billion, but still, 100,000's a lot.
It's so. Oh my gosh, it's crazy. I was thinking, I'm gonna put this up and. You know, my fans are going to be like, wait, you're not really in the... Because I'm not... If you watch the video, I'm only in the video, like, for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
It's all you to showing your toys.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, fans are going to, you know, maybe not be into this, but I love it, so I'm posting it. And, man, it took off. Like, it literally, within a couple days, it had 50,000 views. I was like, what in the world? Kid, people love toys.
That's excellent. Well, you're welcome anytime. That was a fun day.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, you're welcome for your 100,000 views. I'll take them to it.
Although, Drake, I think it's only, you know, nice of you to invite Bill to your toy room in your house someday.
Oh, well, you know, it's not as extravagant or expansive, but
because you're smarter than me, that's why.
Yeah, right. I don't know, man. It's a pretty good investment. Like I said, you know, if all the kids, you know, if all the parents growing up and kids, oh, can I have this? Can I have this? No, but Mom, it's going to be worth $20,000 one day. It's gonna be worth, you know, $700. It's only $7 now. You know, they would have jumped at it, paid for their college.
Drake, after you left, my daughters said the same thing to me in unison. They said, "Did that really happen?" I go, "Yeah, that really happened." Drake was over. Yeah.
All right. Well, Suzanne is here and doing a great job with this singer-songwriter slam, and it all culminates on Saturday night this week.
Yes, Saturday. It will be Saturday night. Drake will be performing at 11 p.m. The artist start at 8:30. Drake will do his meet and greet right after that midnight. And then tonight is the final night, actually, you know, at 8:30 p.m. Downers Grove, Bally Doyle's. Drake won't be there, but Saturday.
Right.
Because everyone's calling, is Drake coming tonight? He's an amazing guy. I love working for you, Drake. I tour manage Drake.
Oh,
he's so talented. And wait till you hear his new album. He's going to talk about that. He's absolutely amazing. So we're really excited. So it starts 8:30 p.m. Drake goes on at 11. You can buy tickets on Bally Doyle's website in Downers Grove.
That's Saturday night.
And Saturday night.
Drake, if I may, I really loved the show Drake and Josh. My teenage boys watched it, and I started watching it, and it's like I got hooked on it. And when you were going to perform the last time I saw you, I'm like, this guy's a goof. Yeah, he's got a guitar. He's silly. You are a really, truly fine musician. So I need to pay compliments
thank
you
so to you. Much.
Really enjoyable
thank
show.
Thank you.
He's so gifted. Every time, like, people are like, oh, you know, Drake from Drake and Josh. I'm like, no, you got to see him perform. And Drake
really
goes
good.
On. He's amazing. He's a true artist.
Thank you.
True
thank
artist.
You. Yeah, we're out here right now on this really cool tour. We're playing every day. Which is awesome because most tours are usually, you know, play from, you know, Thursday, Friday night, Saturday night, get the rest of the week off and you're traveling and stuff. But we're doing Monday through Friday. Every day we're playing a show and we're going into these high schools around the nation. It's called High School Nation. And instead of having to have kids ask their parents for money for a concert, and then the parents are like, wait, who's chaperoning? Where's the concert? Is it on a school night? There's just so many variables to get, you know, kids to concerts that I thought, man, it'd be so cool if we could just bring the concert to them. And through trying to figure out how to do that, we found this thing called High School Nation. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I just have to jump on. They already have the full infrastructure. And we're coming into these schools, putting on a whole mini Lollapalooza, basically, where we set up booths where kids can come in, like a Guitar Center booth, for example, where kids can come in and play drums and bass and guitars and pianos and do artwork. And there's all these different booths set up. And then we have a bunch of live bands. We have two stages. So it's this whole mini music festival that – at 12, 1 o'clock, the kids get out half day. They walk right out onto their quad, and there's a whole music festival going on. And then we also, through that, we're donating $30,000 of sound equipment in to these schools. And we're hitting about 40 or 50 schools in the fall, and then we do it in the spring. So we do this each year in the spring and the fall. hit about 40, 50 schools and donate the $30,000 worth of recording equipment. So it's a really, really cool thing that we're out on that I'm going to be flying from. Actually, we're doing two shows that day. So I'll play Friday, then we'll fly to Jersey, do the Jersey show, and then Saturday I'll be in Downers Grove.
Look at that. You That's are amazing. Giving back.
Yep.
You in a high school must be like the Beatles in Shea Stadium. I bet the crowd is just going nuts.
Oh, it's incredible. Well, that's the cool thing about playing these is, you know, every kid from the school shows up. So you walk out and you instantly have a, you know, an audience of 4,000 kids. And, you know, and it's awesome. Every single day we're playing to about 3,000 to 4,000 kids. And they're really receiving the music and the new album and my new EP, Honest, which is
Hold that thought. Well. Let's talk about your new album and everything. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Drake Bell. He will be performing live in action at the end of Ballydoyle's Singer-Songwriter Slam this Saturday night, beginning at 8:30. Where do people get tickets, Suzanne?
They can go online, Ballydoyle's website, or they can purchase at door.
All right, quick break. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and we're talking with Suzanne Jessen, who has put together this competition series, the fourth one, a singer-songwriter slam. These kids, what are the ages? 12 is the youngest, and it goes all the way up to about 25?
Yes, yes.
And the winner will open for this guy, Drake Bell, who... We still can't get over what a great thing you're doing with these high school kids, because seriously, if you're not an athlete, you don't know what to do with your life. So you are introducing a lot of these high school kids to music as possibly an interest for them. So good work.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's really cool because, you know, a lot of these schools that we're going to are lower income. The arts programs are completely stripped away. And a lot of these kids are coming up to us going, you know, if you're an artist or you want to be a musician or you want to be a singer, what do we do? And so it's cool to come in and show, hey, you know, if you stick with it, if you practice hard, if you whatever it is, you can, you know, one day you can be up on stage doing what we're doing. So it's a really, really cool thing to be able to do. And then to leave them with such a, you know, expansive recording studio and everything like that, it's just really cool to see them and how stoked they are.
And that's part of the competition. Not only do you win the opportunity to open up for Drake Bell, which is a huge privilege and an honor,
yes,
you also get some recording time as well.
Yes, Gremlin Studio, located in Aurora, amazing studio. They're donating 10 hours of recording time. Every show I do, every artist we work with, they always donate. They're great, great studio. So
it's quite a value. That's great.
It is a great value. Yeah. It's expensive to record.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Drake, a new CD is out?
Yep. My new EP, Honest, is available, you know, Spotify, iTunes, or go on YouTube and listen to it for free. Check it out. So that's what we're touring right now. And then I've got some new music I'm recording, and I've got two videos for Rewind and Honest, the title track, coming out pretty soon. We just finished shooting those and editing and all that good stuff, so now it's just all in post-production, getting ready for release. So yeah, a lot of stuff going on.
And Drake, I just want you to know, because you came to my house and I opened the door for you, I've been telling people that I opened for you, so I hope that's okay with you. All right.
That's awesome. Very clever.
I have to ask you this.
I love it.
You were in the news. Wendy and I talked about this on the show the other day, or when it happened, actually. Your co-star, Josh, gets married and doesn't invite you, which is such a slam. What was going on there? Why would he do something like that?
Because he's Josh Peck.
Is that why?
It just stinks.
I think so. Yeah, you know, I don't know. We've been talking. We've been friends for 18 years, and I thought we were cool, and I was congratulating him and telling him how awesome it was, and then, you know, waiting for the invitation, and then, you know, he had people at his wedding who he's known for 6 months, and I didn't get the invite. So, yeah, it was kind of a little bit of a slap in the face, I guess.
Awful. We're all on your side in this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
We boycotted the wedding. None of us went to the wedding.
I didn't want to invite Bill to mine, but I did.
She had to.
You know, that's the thing is, you know, it was probably a blessing. I didn't have to get a tux. I didn't have to drive to Malibu and all this stuff. So it was pretty much a blessing in disguise. But we got to meet up.
Oh, your phone's breaking up. Did we lose you? You got to meet up? He did that on purpose, you know.
I think Josh hung up on him. I think he went to the house and disconnected the phone. That guy's a monster.
Oh, we lost him. If you want to quick try and call him back just so he can wrap up his thought. Okay. In the meantime, if there are any kind of venues out there, maybe you're listening and you own a bar or a park district, as you mentioned, how can they reach you to arrange this little song competition at their venue? Bring people in.
Sure.
Give kids an opportunity.
Check me out on Facebook at Suzanne Jessen, J-E-S-S-E-N. Private message me and then go to my email also at 1126ENT@gmail.com. You can check me out there. Just, you know, message me. Let me know, you know, what town you're in. We pretty much go everywhere. We even will go out of state as well. We've had a lot of requests and people talking about it, so we're really excited about it.
That's 1126ENT@gmail.com, like 1126 Entertainment, short for that.
Absolutely.
And we've got Drake back so he can answer what he was in the middle of. All right, as you were saying,
hey,
Drake
sorry
Bell.
Sorry about that, guys.
That's
no,
all right.
That's all right.
Yeah, sorry about that. But no, I'm saying, you know, we're like real siblings. Sometimes we've wanted to, you know, not talk unless we have dialogue together, or we've spent a 12-hour day working and go to each other's houses and hang out longer. You know?
Right.
It's like real brother. It's like real brothers.
It just seemed
right
very frustrating.
You know, but right now everything's good. And you know what's cool about that is I think that if we were always just perfectly fine, I don't think that, you know, I think comedy comes out of, you know,
frustration.
Yeah, that's why Bill and I are so good together.
That's it.
I don't know if you guys bicker as much as we do, but
we don't bicker too much.
I think, you know, comedy comes from tragedy. So I think if we were always just, you know, such adulation and admiration for each other all times, I think that, you know, it would come off kind of underwhelming on screen, you know.
So true.
Can't wait to see you Saturday night. You've got a lot of talented people. In fact, who are these talents that will be competing to open up for Drake Bell?
All right. First we're going to thank Mars Kid. Congratulations to him. He just won our big battle this last weekend. And this Thursday and Saturday, we're going to have Sophia, Brad, Megan, Michael, Kara, Anam, Tristan, P. Grimm, Kevin, and Double Identity are all the contestants that are fighting for the spot to open up for Drake. So tonight, 8:30 p.m., if you guys want to check it out. And then Saturday's the big show, and Drake will be coming in. So we're really excited about it. And thank you to Gremlins and also Basement of the Dead for sponsoring this. So really excited about it.
Excellent.
Can't wait to see you, Drake. You got a lot of talent that's going
to
be vying.
Guys. I'm excited to see you guys.
Cool. Take care, Drake. Thanks again. Appreciate it. Have a good time on Saturday.
Yeah, thank you, too.
Say hey to your daughters from me. And
absolutely. You got it. Take
awesome.
Care.
All right. Great talking to you guys. And say hey to your son from me.
You'll see him on Saturday night.
Oh, great. Perfect. Awesome. I'll see you guys Saturday night.
All right, Drake. Thanks. That's Drake Bell. Suzanne, thank you. This is a great thing you're doing.
No, thank you, Wendy and Bill, for having me. And I'm so excited that we met, and it's been great. And it's wonderful having your son part of it. He's amazingly talented.
Thank you. These kids are talented. Really, I have to say, I see Michael play a lot, so I'm kind of more excited to see these
other
kids.
They're all so good.
Tell Michael that. I'm sure he'll be thrilled to hear
that. Yeah,
I
hope not.
That
again, if you have a venue and you'd like to partake in this, it's really a fun event, and it really is something that no one else is doing. You can reach Suzanne Jessen, J-E-S-S-E-N, on Facebook, or email her at 1126ENT@gmail.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Quick break. News is next, 720 WGN.
If you're going to be a stand-up comic, you have to have a hook of some sort. John Heffron is in, and he's got a new hook. He's the limping comedian. I don't think any other comedian has ever done this, John. This is groundbreaking. You just came in here. I've known you for years and years and years. Wendy and I have known you. Never seen a limp, but now you got a very pronounced limp.
Well, here's the deal, right? You do, as a comic, you definitely need a hook.
You want to find something.
So what I'm doing is I'm just going for the people in various cities that have, you know, they hurt themselves in like a dumb way.
You hurt yourself in a dumb way?
That's my thing. And then, you know, then maybe that could lead to a special pain for dumb people. Like, just I'm trying to think of, like, you know, merch.
Right.
Instead of selling like CDs or DVDs that nobody has any way to play any of those.
Right.
Like, I'm working a deal with like the cane.
Yeah,
that cane that stands up for
splints.
You. Whatever that is. So that's my hook.
That's excellent. Good for you.
Yeah.
Did you have an injury you wanted to address?
No, I was using those workout bands and I basically they snapped. And it went down.
You were in a health club, a workout.
No, this is
I was
you
in
just
my
in your hotel room,
And the
you
band
travel with your them. Bands?
Workout bands. Because, yeah, so that's how
you... Look at you.
And then it's very heavy.
It's very prisonery. And then it's on the ground. So I step on it this morning.
Yeah.
And I curl it. So there's maybe 70 pounds of pressure, I guess. And it has a carabiner. And then the handle broke. And then it's like a slingshot. Right now, there's probably some attorneys right now going, we got a case for you, son.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, the elastic work. I mean, they're not heavy. You just fold them up and throw them. But kudos to you for working out on the road.
No, I don't know why I do it. I wouldn't do it if I had an energy drink in me in the middle of the day. I probably wouldn't. But I was, it was 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I need to wake up. I'm going to do it's just dumb. It's
but
avoidable.
You know, a lot of hotels will have a workout room or there'll be a health club nearby. Are you not staying in one of the finer hotels here in town?
No, I have it there. You know, it's a lot of, if I'm Instagramming pictures of my arms and stuff, it's nice. It's nice to do the workout band
sure.
to get a little pump on,
okay.
basically. For the,
gotta show off those guns.
For the bicep modeling that I do on my Instagram account.
How much pain are you in right now? Are you in a lot of pain?
It depends if I think about it or not. When I first started, I was like, it's broke.
Yeah.
But I don't know what top of your foot. Brokenness.
There's like a million bones in your foot. You could have totally broken a
bone.
I
almost WebMD'd it. Yeah. And then I'm like, that would, I probably think I have like scurvy or
yes.
something. That would have sent me off. So
they
I decided.
You're going to die.
Yeah. I know if I take off my shoe or my foot now,
no
it's going to just psh, almost like you get those Cinnabons in that Pillsbury thing.
Oh, yeah. I
when
love
you
that.
Flick it yep. and it pops. I have a feeling that it might do that.
That's a pretty
you
picture.
You didn't ice it?
I didn't ice it. I didn't have time
oh,
to ice
it. Oh, you gotta ice it.
I didn't ice it. I don't even have access to ice.
The ice machine at a hotel.
But I've been in the car coming
oh,
down
I guess.
Here. The traffic was awesome. There was like zero traffic.
Yeah, right. I know. That's Chicago.
I'm completely kidding about
right.
that.
There's no traffic here at all.
So, yeah. so there
well,
you
we feel bad for you. We weren't going to have you on, and we heard this story on CNN, and Wendy said, we got to get John in. This might be our last chance.
Yeah, and then they had all the people, like some people debating my foot.
Right,
and some people,
six boxes
and,
with
and there's
various
six people
talking
going,
heads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably...
Trump
I would like to thank Hillary Clinton
right.
for busting my foot.
Right.
Right? Yeah. I'm sure she, yeah. So anyway.
I know this is a very serious question. And I mean, we're here to have a good time, but here's a serious question.
Uh-oh.
We've had a very rough week in the
yes.
news.
Yes.
All right. So when you do what you do, when you go up on stage
month?
And do stand-up comedy, especially when something is so recent and so awful, do you address it or do you say, no, maybe it's best that we not discuss it?
I personally, in my acts, have always been kind of talking about what's going on in my life and, you know, on the cleaner end.
Yeah.
I had to, like, years ago, because there's always something.
Yeah.
There's always something going on where you're like, the world. I've just decided, and this makes it easier for me as a comic, that I'm a distraction.
Oh, really?
That's the lane that I'm
yeah.
in. Like, when I tweet.
A pleasant distraction.
Yeah, when I tweet or on Facebook, I'm not, you know what, I'm not going to add to a political article that's not fact-checked onto my face. I'm going to find somebody.
I wish more people would
I'm gonna
do that.
I'm going to find a skateboarder kid falling off of, a,
yeah.
off of something. Or I'm going to find, you know, hey, mm-hmm. look at this video. It's a cat falling asleep with a dog because they love each other. Yeah, that's kind of my thing is to make the positivity louder.
Right.
And then the people who need to see it or need a break, then that's, so that's what kind of comedy I do.
I'm we
like,
all need
I'm
a
not
break.
Gonna have people watch the news all day because I'm kind of a news junkie. Like even when I get to my shows now, my new rule is I turn off my phone and just, you know, set it down where my face isn't in the phone
mm-hmm.
even an hour before I go on stage.
Look at the discipline he has.
Yeah.
He works
discipline.
Out.
That's
right.
why you're kind of there.
Yeah.
You know? There's just too much going on.
Yep.
Speaking of breaks, can we take a break?
Yes, we will take a break. And if you want to lift weights during the break, John, I'll leave that up to you.
No,
you
I'm
do,
done.
You're done for today.
47.
Right?
At this point, what am I even doing it for?
John Heffern is here temporarily. We don't know how long he will be here, but he's here for right now. He's performing at the Improv all this week. He's the comedian that limps a lot.
Yeah,
so ask
for
Sir Limp-a-Lot.
Sir Limp-a-Lot. He's performing at a new club called Sir Limp-a-Lot. We'll take a quick break and then more with John next. It's Phil and Wendy on WGN. Phil left and it's Wendy Snyder. John Heffern is here. Yeah, he's in a little bit of pain, but he's dealing with it as best he can. He's performing at the Improv all
shows
this week.
Shows will go on.
The shows must go on. That's an
shows
adage in show business,
on,
John.
Yeah.
You know this. Do me a favor. Stick up for Detroit for just a little bit. I know you're from that area.
Sure.
You're from Michigan.
Yeah.
People
from
give
Michigan,
it a bad rap.
Live here
say
for a while.
It's dangerous. Is it dangerous in Detroit?
Probably not any different than other city. I mean, there's parts of, although a lot of cities you go to now, it's scary because there's nobody.
Yeah.
But you literally will walk around and go, I'm the only human being.
Where is everybody?
I don't know where everybody's going.
They're online.
But they're not where I'm at. Yeah, that's it. They're all
they're
just sitting
on,
in weird.
On Snapchat.
Yeah, do we even need houses anymore? Like, could you just have cots that have really good Wi-Fi? Like, if people go, here's the deal. We're all going to kind of, like, every sci-fi movie, yeah. when there's a colony of people trying to get away from, let's say, the robots or whatever,
yeah.
they all go underground,
yeah.
right? And then you find them, and it looks like a Billy Idol video, right. you know, right. Dance With Myself. Everyone right. kind of has that vibe.
yeah.
But they all live. So do you think people would give up where they live if they go, here's the deal. You're going to get a cot.
Yeah.
And a bath, you know, you have all the things, but you're going to kind of live in like these tunnels, but you have crazy Wi-Fi.
Oh.
There's a new Wi-Fi that nobody has access to.
Yeah.
And it's just, and you have a little, like a desk.
Yeah.
And a new computer.
Oh, you have a desk too.
Yeah,
a lot of amenities.
Give you a little thing, but do you think people would go, I will give up being in the sun. I will totally go underground.
Yeah.
And I could just live that way.
Right. There'd
if
be a
Amazon
big percentage.
Prime, we're not taking any of your stuff away.
You right. can't see the screen better underground than in the sunlight.
But do sure. you think people would do it?
Think
there'd be a whole group
of
people that would go, I'll move to the underground.
Yeah.
And then, listen, we get those people off the streets. There's no cars.
True.
Lines at restaurants are shorter.
Yeah.
So we're actively just weeding out. So you guys go. We're going to kind of have a group A, group B.
Yeah.
Group B,
the mole people,
you yeah. just live underground, but they have like, yeah, maybe it's whatever at molepeople.com. Like, maybe it's a thing. But now we're thinning out. I bet you people would do it.
The herd would be thinned out a lot, I bet. Yeah, I like your
idea.
If
you go, you don't have to. I mean, you can, and then maybe we have like one day a month where the mole people come up
mm-hmm.
and they see the sun, and then we can have like it's a big thing. Bars and restaurants do well.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, it's like a holiday
yeah.
to see people.
Once a
I
month.
I like it.
And then maybe they can convince somebody to go. Now, I'm thinking about this way too much, our little mole people. But they convince people to go below.
Yeah.
Or you can get out. Maybe that's the thing, though. But it's almost like a carpool lane where you can't leave the lane
right.
until the dots break. So maybe we do that. You, no matter what, you're down there for a month. Even if you hate it, you're not, you know.
Solid line,
you
can't break
up.
It.
I don't know.
It's a great idea. What are you doing with Brad Paisley? This is cool.
I have a special right now on Netflix called the Brad Paisley Comedy Rodeo. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a fan of the name.
Well, your name's not in it, but Brad Paisley's name is all over it.
It's all over it. I wouldn't have necessarily called it Comedy Rodeo.
He's
a country dude, but I would have wanted...
But comedy and rodeo rarely go together.
It sounds like two things you don't want to happen.
Kind of, you're right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I would... Extravaganza?
Yeah.
I would rather be in an extravaganza
yeah.
than
cow
a rodeo.
Tipping?
I would have been a comedy...
comedy cow tipping.
Comedy hayride.
Oh, that's
oh,
not
I like
bad.
That.
Would be a little bit more pleasant
still
than comedy rodeo.
It's a little hicky. You know, it's kind of hickish almost, isn't it?
Hayride?
Hayride, yeah. Because comedy, you want to...
I got a hickey on a hayride once.
When you got...
And a tick. Yeah.
Right. Comedy tick.
Yeah.
Even
so,
that's better.
Yeah. So, but the guys on the thing, it's me, Nate Pagazzi, John Reap, Sarah Tiana, mm-hmm. Mikey Winfield. Like, the comics on there are really good. We mm-hmm. all do, you know, it's an ensemble
this
show.
This is not your first comedy rodeo.
This is not my first comedy rodeo. Right. But it's great because as a comic now, you literally aren't on anything.
Right.
So that has the equivalence of doing a Tonight Show in
oh.
the sense of how many people see it.
Oh, that's good.
And
that's
stuff
very
like that.
Good.
So I'll do whatever.
Yeah.
Call it the comedy. Comedy, you know.
What's Brad Paisley like? Is he a nice man?
He's super cool. We went to his house in Nashville. Well, he's got two houses. He's got like his house that he lives in with his family, and then we were invited to his burner house. Basically,
what's a burner house?
You know, like you have a burner phone where you give some people that phone number, and then
when
you
don't
want anything, and then you toss your
bad
phone.
Stuff. Yeah,
and he has a whole house like that.
He's got a burner house.
Wow.
In the sense where, yeah, you, wow. it's like tier. So you get invited to that one. And I think that's where he records his, like, he records his studio,
yeah.
and his band hangs out there.
That's his man cave house.
It's, yeah,
man
but
house.
It's a huge, like, it's very cool.
But I still, I'm not taking anything away, but yeah. I would want to come to the real house. Was he afraid you were going to steal stuff? At his
I don't know,
house?
Maybe that's where, because we were working on stuff for the special. I don't know, maybe that's just where he's really into Star Wars and... like toys and, I know that's right
crazy.
I know it's you,
all right,
dude.
We need
you're
to
like,
book him
nuts.
Yeah so he's like really in he had an Iron Man a full Iron Man costume that he built literally like
he
Tony
built
Star-
it
yeah he built a full with like metal and like cut, just like
really.
I'm going to see you at a Brad Paisley concert. I have a feeling.
I might follow him around the country now.
Yeah. So yeah. So
really,
is that at the Burner Home?
Yeah, and then he has.
What does he have at his real house? If he's got an Iron Man costume at the fake house.
Yeah, and then he has a bar that was like brought in from Guinness. Like he's got this full bar that's really cool.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's got like, it's definitely a dude thing. And then he gets it. He's very perfect. Like,
I have new respect for Brad Paisley.
Yeah, I didn't know a lot about him before. I mean, I listened to some of his songs, but yeah. I did a little bit more homework before I showed up. And I love his
guitars. I love Paisley, and they're all so cool.
He's a great guitar player.
Yeah, he's
too,
really good.
Yeah, so he was super cool. That's I don't know how I got on the show. I don't know, to be honest with you. But yeah.
Why do you say that? He obviously wanted the best comedians he could
find. Yeah, that's what the premise of the thing was. You know, friends. I think all of us on it were very blue-collar comics, but not, you know.
Not Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, hey, we're dumb because we're from the South. Here's a dumb scenario that dumb people handle it differently than smart people. Like, it wasn't like that. Not that that's every
Although
premise
I would
of that
go to see
style
if there was
comedy.
A special like that, I would go to see that.
If
I
you just did really like bad premises.
I'm a dumb guy. I live in a dumb house. I drive a dumb car. I would go and love that show.
Hey, I'm Latino. You know, Latinos handle it differently than white people. Here's an example. Hey, you know, like everybody has that like that thing. Boy, what am I?
Men and women are different, aren't
here's
they?
Here's a way to handle it. Yeah. Maybe that's how I'll do my next special. Just like really. Boy.
Bare bones.
Boy, I do weird things on pod. Here's an example. First, I'll ask the question. You guys ever do weird things on pod? And then I pause for the applause. Yep. And then I show an example.
I'd watch it.
Yep.
You have a new book out? How long has it been out?
I have. It's been out for a while. I Come to You from the Future.
What's the book?
That book was about giving advice to younger people.
Oh.
They need it.
Just, you know, mercy.
Give us one tidbit of advice. Let's say younger people are listening to you, John Heffern. What advice would you give them?
Let me ask you about these young people. Mm-hmm. I'll tell them. Mm-hmm. One day you'll get married, and your wife will buy a rug, and the rug she gets will go next to the bathroom tub. Mm-hmm. That rug, never supposed to get wet.
Mm-hmm. That's true, isn't it?
That is so true.
I don't know.
She gets upset if the rug gets wet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Iron Man or Brad Paisley dressed as Iron Man comes in and shows you what's what.
Yeah. So there's a lot of, you know, when you get married, your wife moves in with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that usually happens.
Yeah, nobody. And then your wife makes you get rid of everything you had prior to her. My wife made me get rid of my roommate. Miss Rob. Me and Rob had the great. Never once did Rob ever jump up on the couch and stick his toes under my butt because they were cold. So there's these things because young people just think they're inventing things.
Right.
People in their early 20s. They're like, nobody, we're millennial. No one's doing the stuff we're doing. Yeah, we all did it. Some of us just did it at the Excalibur and members only jackets.
Right.
You're not inventing anything. That's been going on for a long time.
You should do a book based on advice like this.
I should do a thing.
Think about it.
All right, where are you?
I am at the Chicago Improv.
Tonight?
Tonight, two shows Friday. This will get my radio voice out. Saturday, two shows.
Each of them?
Sunday.
Each of them unique.
Each of them unique. Yep. It's a good date night.
Yep.
Just come, get a little distraction from all that's going on in the world, get some food.
John, good luck with the limp.
Get a sitter.
Please tell me that the next time we see you, you'll be limp-free. Please.
I'm good. Let's hope.
That's what we're hoping. Fingers are crossed. John Heffern's at the Chicago Improv.
John.
Go to chicagoimprov.com.
Yeah.
All the information is there. Have a good rest of the
week.
Thank
you so much.
All right. You're welcome so much.
It.
A quick break, then some news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. You just made an interesting noise, Wendy. More interesting than the noises you usually make.
I just kind of said,
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I forget he's gone.
Yeah,
he shouldn't be gone at 66.
No.
Yeah. I don't know if any of you have noticed, but like if you're watching any of the late night talk shows, they're bumping in and out at least two of them and maybe all of them. I don't know.
Yes.
I flip around, but they've been bumping in with Tom Petty songs all week. And it makes your heart stop for a second or two every time you hear it, doesn't it? Patrick McDonald is here to talk about the world of film with us and a very special event that's going on here in Chicago. Nice to see you, Patrick. And I see you've brought one of our favorite guests.
Yes. You went to introduce them?
Nope, absolutely not. I refuse to.
Andrew Kaufman.
Anthony Kaufman.
Anthony.
See,
we were told Andrew Kaufman would be here.
You
Anthony.
Guys, see, you put me on the spot.
You guys should have introduced me. They know me better than you do.
How are you, Anthony? Good to see you again. The reason being, the big Chicago International Film Festival is now.
Yes.
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Yeah.
Boy, we're bad in a thousand.
I live in the future.
Yes, thank you.
I live in the future.
I want to tell you that Anthony brought up a little Chicago International Film Festival guide. It's the 53rd annual. And I look through this and want to circle about 10 million different things that I want to see. Something
we have a
you
lot,
wouldn't see elsewhere.
We have a lot of movies. And that's one of the great things about it is I would say 90% of those movies you can only see at the Chicago International Film Festival. They're not going to play at, you know, the multiplex. They're not going to show up on Netflix even. They're not going to show up on you know.
Why is that?
Well, because a lot of these films are from all around the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of those films don't end up playing in the U.S.,
yeah.
Tragically. But they're great films. I mean, we have, and we have, you know, we have genre films, thrillers, you know, exciting stuff, comedies. Mm-hmm. That's audience friendly. You know, it's not like it's all obscure art films. These are mainstream films from all over the world. And that's just, they're harder to, you know, to find in the U.S.
Yep.
So this next 2 weeks is really the place to see a lot of these films.
Well, and also, too, you know, in to make a good point about just distributorship in America, you know, of films, and usually to find something unusual, you have to go to these festivals. And as Anthony and I were talking in the green room, this is international.
Mm-hmm.
This is we're going to have filmmakers from all over the world and actors and people associated with these films coming in for discussions. And my big take on these film festivals, having gone to Tribeca this year and done the Chicago International for the last 8 years, is the atmosphere. It is interacting with people there and discussing the films, as Anthony and I were talking.
Yeah, we have Q&As with directors and actors after most of the films.
People who have never attended a Q&A after a film, you can't believe how much extra depth it gives the movie, because you find out the motivations of everybody involved, and it's such a nice thing. I love when that takes place after a movie.
Yeah, and I think it just gives you time to digest the movie more and talk to people more, and it just makes for a fuller experience. You don't just go and, you know, you're done.
Yeah.
You go and you keep going and you keep talking and you really get into the issues of the films, if you know. So I
have a question.
Yeah.
53 years doing this, correct?
Yeah.
Are there a ton more people now? Because I think how we watch movies have changed. It's changed drastically. Before, you'd go see a movie and you'd move on and get on with your life. Now it's like you want to find out everything you can about this movie, hence the Q&A. Way more people attending now than 53 years ago, huh?
Well, I wasn't alive when the festival started.
Fault is that, Anthony? Let's be honest.
It's the festival director.
It is the festival director's fault.
Yeah, the guy who founded it, Michael Kutza.
He just wanted to beat you to the punch.
Yeah. He should have invited me.
Yep.
All right, but you have numbers, smarty pants.
I don't know. Yes, it's increased obviously over the years. It was a much smaller festival back in the day. Now it's a big deal, and you know, like I said, films from all over the world, people from all over the world. This is a major international destination festival.
There's still people though who believe that you have to be a member of some exclusive club or in the film industry to attend this, and that's not the case at all.
No, I hope not. And we have matinees that are not too expensive.
Yeah.
We have late night shows, which are also cheaper, and you know, fun genre films from all over the world. I'm particularly fond of, we have an international film noir section this year, films from Thailand. We have the Slovakian Oscar entry, this great crime drama about smugglers in Slovakia, the border, a Belgian serial killer drama, an Italian mafia story. These are fun movies.
Sure. I always say this about foreign films. I know people sometimes are afraid because they have to read during the movie, and that can be frustrating.
Are you pointing at me?
I'm not pointing at you. Yeah, I know I am. The thing about foreign films and a lot of independent films is they're unpredictable. Like for your average Hollywood film, you know when it starts out, you kind of get the idea of where it's headed.
Oh, yeah.
But with foreign films, they don't follow any formula at all.
I mean, some do, but some don't. Yeah. Full of surprises. Absolutely.
Anthony Kaufman from the 53rd Chicago International Film Festival with us right now. He wasn't there for number one.
Number one, no.
And Patrick McDonald. We're going to take a break, but I want you to think about something, Patrick. You've gone, you said, for the last 8 years.
Yes.
Do you have a specific way, like a good guide to follow? Like, how do you know what to see? Do you just go through the guide and circle and try and figure that out?
Looking for recommendations is your best bet. Keeping up on the press and the literature around you is key to finding out, but also go up to people and say, what do you like? You know, because a lot of times...
In the world of film, you mean?
Yeah.
Not just people will slap general. You if you just walk up to somebody and say
I'm
that.
Just doing very well in this appearance.
You have to ask them what their taste is first.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's true.
Because everyone has different tastes. Yeah. It's like, what's your favorite movie? And if they say, Forrest Gump, and you hate Forrest Gump, then you're like, I'm not going to take that recommendation.
Right. Very good. True. All right, we'll pick this up in just a little bit. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. The 53rd Chicago International Film Festival takes place next week. We have a couple of guests discussing it. We have Patrick McDonald, who comes on with us all the time to talk about movies, and then Anthony Kaufman, one of the programmers. And I'm guessing that means you're one of the people who select which films are shown. Is that what that means?
That's right.
Yeah.
We watched thousands of films and picked about 140 features and another 50 or so short films.
Are there some that you enjoy that you say, as much as I love this film, I just don't think it'll play?
Yes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't name any names.
No,
but,
you don't have to name names.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. There's some, but I would say, for the most part, I'll go to bat for a film.
Yeah.
If I love it, I'll be like, okay, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And there's got to be some people who are going to love it too.
I would imagine.
Well, you're putting yourself in the audience's place, even though you have a certain expertise, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, and there's some films that I don't love. They're not personally my taste, but I'm like, I know the audience is going to like this
right,
film.
Right, right. So. Is there some country, like the United States has the reputation as being the most influential in terms of making movies, but is there some country right now that's just doing the best work and not getting the notoriety it should?
Well, we do have a number of films from Hungary.
Yeah.
Bow, bow, bow. Oh, I'm sorry. This is from the Blues Brothers.
I mean, I don't know what's happening in Hungary right now, but it's kind of cool. You know, we found like four films from Hungary that were like, these are good films. We
Excellent.
Should show these films.
Well, there are certain movements that emerge because of what's happening in the countries. Like Iran, for example, had a time, and South Korea had a time.
Yeah. Because of political unrest. We have a couple of really strong Iranian films. But, I feel like I want your audience to know we actually have some great American films, too. You know, we have some big
USA.
Films. I think Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water, which is our closing night film.
People would know him primarily from Pan's Labyrinth, probably. He's done some great horror films over the years.
Yeah, but some great Hollywood stuff as well. This is going to be, mark my words, like one of the big films at the end of the year everyone's going to be talking about.
Really?
Yep.
Excellent. A very special guest, by the way, at the film festival, and that is Patrick Stewart.
Yes.
That's him.
Yeah, Sir Patrick Stewart.
Sir Patrick Stewart.
He is a sir. I think he is a sir now.
Yeah, he was knighted.
Yeah, so he's
we're knighting him right now. Let's face it, we have that power.
There's going to be a discussion with him on Wednesday.
Was he selected for his work in the Emoji movie?
He said that he enjoyed that experience, despite the fact that no one liked that movie. He's a funny guy, right? He plays these serious roles, but he's really quite funny in body.
Right.
And I'm excited for that discussion. I think he's going
to
be great.
His role in American Dad has to be the true Patrick Stewart. Seriously. Have you
what,
seen?
I didn't see it.
He
what
plays
he do?
A CIA director on American Dad. Yes.
That's very funny.
And he's just totally out there.
Is he in one of these films?
He's not.
He just decided to come and support it.
Yeah. He wanted to come out and support it. You know, he had Logan, and we liked Logan.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
There was actually a Logan Noir. I don't know if you're aware of. They released a black and white version.
Right.
Did
they?
Yeah, yeah. I think you can get it on DVD. So there's that noir connection. But I know he just wanted to come, and we were like, glad to have you.
Yeah, you can't say no to him. He's Patrick Stewart.
That's right.
A career retrospect, sir.
All right, Patrick, I've been waiting for 20-plus years to ask this question of somebody. You have seen the new Blade Runner movie,
Blade Runner
2049. Please tell me it's great. Please. Oh, no.
Oh, there's a pause.
Oh, no. It's a bad sign.
Listen, visually, it's stunning.
Yeah.
I think the story is thin. And I'm not trying to put a damper on this whole thing. It has a 94% rating on RT. I mean,
Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. And I'm stunned by that, quite frankly. I think...
You're going to get some hate mail, Patrick.
Yes, yep. I always do. It doesn't matter.
But this will come in-house. This will all be from us here in the room.
Something like this that you're looking forward to, does it sometimes matter if it's great? Because doesn't some of the nostalgia fill up the greatness?
I think in this case, that's definitely a possibility. The director is Denis Villeneuve. Thank you. I looked up that pronunciation this morning, and
French Canadian.
He did the amazing Arrival last year. Did you like that one, Anthony?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, that had a visual acuity and also had that great story associated with it.
It was our closing night actually last year.
Oh, okay, festival. Very good. Yep. Yes, but this film has the visuals, but to me the story is too thin. It doesn't really create any kind of buzz from the other picture.
Some people said that about the first movie, though, that the visuals were amazing, but there wasn't a lot of story.
And didn't people like that after the fact? Like it wasn't an instant hit?
Yes.
Yes, I think it built up, especially as you know, the cult of science fiction got larger and larger. The geekdom, if you want to call it that, got larger and larger. And then it took on a reverential type on the mantle of science fiction, it became one of the big ones. It is both cult and mainstream in a sense. So a 3 out of 5. I mean,
that's not bad.
It's not bad.
Harrison Ford is back in
and
this one.
The atmosphere, yes. Harrison Ford is
Jared
back.
Leto is in this one.
Yes.
And Ryan Gosling singing some leftover songs from La La Land.
I hope so. He needs to cheer up.
Yeah.
You see him on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
He was very funny. Yeah.
He cracked himself up all through that episode.
A lot. All right. So 3 out of 5 for Blade Runner 2049.
Yes.
And that's opening tomorrow.
Yes. And three other films just quickly. The Mountain Between Us with Kate Winslet, Idris Elba. I really liked it. It was an unconventional way to tell a love story through a disaster movie. We have Mark Felt. Here's the full title, The Man Who Brought Down the White House. Mm. That's an unwieldy little title. I guess they couldn't call it Mark Felt Deep Throat because that title had already been taken.
Yeah,
but it's kind of choppy, but I think it's a good reminder of what's going on in our government and what can happen if people get in that want to do certain things. So I give that 3.5 out of 5. And finally, an independent film opening in a music box called Lucky. The elegy for Mr. Harry Dean Stanton is his final film.
Oh,
he completely stars in it. It's about a man who lives in this town in the plains of I would say Arizona, it looks like. But it's sort of a Western, but they call him an atheist in him, and that's one of the big things. But I don't think that's really the primary focus. It's basically Harry Dean Stanton being Harry Dean with David Lynch and Ron Livingston. And it played at Chicago Critics Fest and was the favorite of that
David
festival.
Lynch directed or acted
in
it?
No, he acts in it. And
I love him, too.
He's great. The screenwriters told me a story about him. He came onto the set completely prepared, more prepared than anybody, because he knows how much that delays the
set. Yeah.
So he wanted to be on there and just, you know, play his David Lynch role in the
Interesting.
Way that...
So those are the big movies this week. And then, Wendy, there's something that we wanted to call some attention to, right?
Yes.
What?
Camille, if you're ready with this song, we have lost a local treasure and a rock and roll gentleman, Skip Haines, who wrote the song Lakeshore Drive with Alyota Haynes Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. We interviewed him just as Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was coming out, because that song, Lakeshore Drive, was featured in the movie. He, I believe, was 70 years old. He passed away. There are some rumors that he wants his ashes scattered on Lakeshore Drive.
That's fitting.
And he recorded a little special version of this just for us, Bill. No. With Bill and Wendy, getting into town, just slipping on by with Bill. So bless you, Skip Haines. Hang out with Tom Petty, won't you?
What an honor. Well, yeah. Thank you, Anthony Kaufman. Great things ahead with the film festival, the 53rd Chicago International Film Festival. And Patrick, always good to see you. Thanks so much.
I'm Andrew McDonald.
No, just
going back. Stop it.
If people want to visit your website, where should they go?
HollywoodChicago.com, ChicagoFilmTour.com. We're running this weekend on the marathon on Saturday only.
Excellent.
And ChicagoFilmFestival.com. We're at the AMC River East starting Thursday for 2 weeks.
Fantastic. Awesome.
Thanks,
really
guys.
Yep.
More after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN. If you want to hear more of Wendy and me, you can. It's really easy. Just go to WGNRadio.com and click on the link that gets you to our podcast, our bonus hour, our stream hour.
Bill Left Unleashed is what we like to call it.
Some people have called it that.
Bill goes a little nutty, huh?
Sometimes,
he does.
Yeah. Sometimes,
I like that.
Sometimes. So we're available for the next hour, or stay right here and listen to Steve. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch. Hi, Steve.
So just to serve, hi, Bill. A study out recently. How much do you think a nursing home room costs per year?
$250,000.
$100,000 a year. How much do you think Medicare pays for?
Oh, this
not
isn't going to be good, is it? How much?
None.
Zero
Are
of
you
it.
Kidding?
I kid you not. Oh. And so we're facing these expenses and doing nothing about it. We'll talk to an expert about that. In fact, Joel Caldwell is the director at the National Council on Aging. It's kind of bitter medicine, but reading what I've read in the past couple of days, it's time to get a plan.
Yep.
It is.
For you guys, not me. I can't.
Thanks.